12th Psalm, Psalm number 12. Thankful to see so many from West Milton come down. It makes it a lot easier when you look out in a crowd and you can just focus on some of your own people that you've preached to before. We're so thankful that they came. Psalm 12, verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. These verses are classic verses, a great promise of the preservation of God's Word. And we spend a lot of time, and so many people talk about inspiration, and so many people forget about preservation. I believe both. I believe that not only has God inspired His Word, but He promised that He would keep what was inspired in this world. You know, to preserve means to keep in original form, to keep in an original state. Some people struggle, I think, and some don't believe, and you may not. And I believe some people don't believe that a translation of the Bible can be inspired. I believe it can. I believe that we have an inspired translation in our English Bible. I believe that the Lord has preserved His Word. And I think when Brother Asbury said that this is a Baptist conference, I know in our world amongst Baptist people or people that claim to be Baptist, this may not be a Baptist distinctive, but amongst the people that are here this morning, I believe that it is, that as far as English-speaking people are concerned, we have a preserved Word of God in our King James Bible. I believe that one of the strongholds that we have to have in this world is a pure Bible, is a pure Word of God. So this morning, I would like to stand here and defend the King James Bible. Amongst all the attacks, amongst all the criticisms of our Bible in this world, I believe that it is the strongest. I believe that it's the best. I believe that it is the most pure of all English Bibles. Amen. Looking over in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 28 it says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." You see it many times. You see in the book of Job this mention of landmarks. You see here the writer here in Proverbs mentions landmarks. Because when a landmark, when a stronghold is removed, there's a great loss that can come about after that. I mean, if you had a property and your property line was marked by a landmark, and someone could move your landmark with you knowing, without you knowing, they would increase their territory and decrease and cause you a great loss. And the Bible tells us that we ought not to remove the ancient landmarks. And so many messages could be preached from that. So many landmarks we could discuss this morning. But I believe the Lord wants us to share this about our Bible, about our King James Bible. Where do Bibles come from? Where do Bibles come from? Well, our Bible is translated from Greek and Hebrew manuscripts. Many are. In fact, most Bibles today are translated from Greek and Hebrew manuscripts. Unfortunately, there's a problem with that. Amongst the manuscripts that exist today, they don't all agree. Not all manuscripts agree. In fact, there's over 5,000 manuscripts that are in existence, and they don't all agree with each other. So how do we know that we have in our hands an accurate, a reliable translation of God's Word? Well, I believe that if you look at the evidence that exists, you would see that our King James Bible is an accurate translation. It is an accurate translation of those manuscripts. You consider that in our world we have about 5,000 manuscripts that exist as far as a Greek New Testament is concerned. Did you know that of those 5,000, 95% of them agree with each other? 95% of the Greek manuscripts that exist agree with each other. A majority of manuscripts agree. And that's why they're called the majority text. The majority text, it's also has been known in history as the received text or the Textus Receptus. It's gone by different names, but of the 5,000 manuscripts that we have, 95% of them agree. There's only 5% that don't agree with each other. The statistics are astounding in favor of this majority text. Historians say that it agrees with, it's like 86,000 citations by church fathers like Polycarp and different ones. 86,000 of their citations coincide with the Textus Receptus. It's just an amazing and phenomenal statistics. And that's why I believe, hands down, with that 95%, with the amount of evidence, that our majority text is the most accurate. And you may hear, as Baptists may be interested to know, that David Otis Fuller, in his book, Which Bible, cited a church in history that used the Textus Receptus. He called them the Waldensian Church of Northern Italy.
Amen.
So this has been something that Baptists have stood for and Baptists have clung to long before I was around, long before any of us were around in history. We have always attempted to maintain a pure Bible in our churches. A pure Bible. But you do have two sets of manuscripts. You do have a 95% and you do have a 5%. And we know that that 5% is mixed with errors. There's over 200 and some verses that are just totally omitted. There's no agreement in that at all. And the statistics are astounding. So when the King James Bible was commissioned in 1604, guess which text those translators used? They used the majority text. They used the text that was historically accurate, that historically agreed with each other. You say, well, if the answer was solved, I mean, if the problem was solved when the King James Bible was translated, why do we have so many different Bibles today? I mean, why do you have an NIV and an NASB, and why do you have a New King James? Why do you have so many different Bibles? I mean, I can't even list them all for you today. I typed them out, and there's like four pages. There's over 100 different English translations that are out there today. And none of them say the same thing.
Right.
Things different cannot be the same.
Amen.
Either one or all of them. Only one of them can be right.
Yeah.
Only one can be right. All the rest have to be inaccurate. So why do we have so many other Bibles? Look back in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, you know the story here of the serpent that was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Now, did God really say that? I mean, are you sure that that's what he said? Are you sure that that's what he meant? Are you sure that's what God, has God really said that? That ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Satan's plan has always been not to deny that God has spoken, not to deny that God has had a word, but to confuse and deceive the mind of individuals of what that word really is, of what the true word of God really is. And when he went to Eve, he said, God, yeah, God spoke, but is that really what he said? I mean, is that what God has said? And from that time, Satan has always had another translation. He's always had another interpretation or translation of God's Word. Yea, hath God said? You know, for a couple hundred years, the King James Bible was loved and was cherished among most of conservative Christianity. I guess if you had to put a date on it, you would start with 1880 or 1881. In 1881, the Church of England wanted to revise the King James Bible. What they wanted to do was they wanted to update some of the spelling. They wanted to update some of the punctuation, and they wanted to change some of the old words like concupiscence, different words like that that sometimes are hard to understand. Sometimes takes a dictionary to get out. Sometimes takes a concordance to get out. They wanted to change those and update those outdated words, outdated spellings, and punctuations. So the Church of England commissioned them in 1881 to bring forth this revised version. That's not what happened. In 1881... that commission that went forward for them to update the King James Bible was not updated. In fact, those scholars that were supposed to change the King James Version, I mean, they changed everything. When they went to sat down and write another New Testament, you know what they used? They didn't even go back to the same manuscripts that the King James men used. They didn't even go back to that majority text. You know what they used? They used what's called the minority text. They use something that's totally different, something that, you know, we've even seen as it had 200 and some verses omitted, thousands of words just gone. And these men, they went back and they looked and they wanted to update the King James. They went back to these old manuscripts and said, okay, well, let's start here from scratch. They didn't update the King James Bible. They made an entirely different Bible. I don't believe that we have new translations or new updatings of the King James, but I'm telling you, these things are totally different Bibles altogether. They don't even come from the same source that ours do. You see, some people say, well, okay, you like the NIV, you know, you like the King James, I like the NIV, or I like the New King James, you know, I don't really see the big difference. The difference is not merely that the words that you read are different. I mean, everything is different about them, from the source of where they come from to the things that they say. The Lord's Word has been compromised. Look in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, I'll just read this part of this verse. Verse 25 says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie." That's what happened in 1881. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And you know what they did? They misled the entire world, and they called it the Revised Version. There wasn't nothing in the King James that was revised. Everything was totally changed. How did they get away with that? How did they get away with duping the entire world? How did they get away with deceiving the entire world? Well, the scholars that were on that committee hated the King James Bible. They hated the King James Bible. A couple famous names that probably you're aware of are names Westcott and Hort. Those men hated the King James Bible. They deceived many, they deceived millions, and they came up with their new translations, and they used a totally different text. You know, Westcott and Hort are regarded even by, and I use a Scofield Bible, but even Scofield, he regarded the Westcott and Hort text as being a good advancement, as being something interesting. You know, Westcott and Hort were evolutionists. They believed in communism, purgatory, praying for the dead, and the worship of Mary, and baptismal regeneration.
Right.
Things that we would never allow, things that we would never stand for. But how many today use Bibles that were written by these men? The thing that I don't understand about the new translations, or most of them are based on that text from Westcott and Hort. Do you know Westcott and Hort and those translators did not believe in the inspiration of Scripture?
Right.
Did not believe in the inspiration. Most of the Bibles that exist today, whether it's the NIV or the, and I'm just naming those because those are the most famous, but all the new Bibles are this way. They're written by men that don't even believe that this is God's Word. Do we really think that they're not going to take a few liberties with a few of those things? I mean, you think about Westcott and Hort that don't even believe in creation. Do you think they're going to be honest about Genesis 1 through 3? Can you really expect them to be honest about the things of God's Word? There's some of the different things some of these men said. Westcott one time said, he said, "I reject the word infallibility of Holy Scripture overwhelmingly." They hated it. And his friend, Mr. Hort, said, "If you decided a conviction of the absolute infallibility of Scripture, I could not join you." These men didn't believe in the inspiration of Scripture. They didn't even believe that this was God's Word. But they took liberties to change it. They took liberties to change the Bible that men had used for a couple hundred years. These men were radicals and had theories, and now the world has totally changed. This world has totally changed. You say, "Brother Philip, what's really the big deal about it? I mean, you like the King James, and I like the NIV, and somebody else, and yeah, the words are a little bit different, but isn't really the message the same thing?" Listen, you're not seeing the big picture there. No Bible in this world anymore is viewed as any authority. There is no Bible in this world that is respected anymore. There is no Bible in this world that is cherished anymore. I mean, if you were to go to a bookstore and you wanted to go and pick up God's Word, you'd have to search 100 shelves. Which one? I mean, which one is it? Is it this one? Is it this one? Is it this one? Because they don't say the same thing. And things different are not the same. Which one's right? Which one can be right? But those men, they hated Scripture. They hated Scripture. This is a topic I love. And those that are here from West Melton know that I've spoken about it many times. It's because I love my Bible. And I love and preach and believe the King James Bible. You want to call me King James only, I'll say amen. Because that's what I am. I believe that this is God's preserved, inspired Word for us. And I'm not foolish enough to see what the root behind it all is. I know that there's a big money maker in Christianity. I know that there's a big money maker in Bibles. You ever notice that if you were to go to the dollar store, some cheap store, you know, and you see a dollar Bible on the shelf, guess which one it is? It's the King James Bible. You know why? They don't sell NIVs for a dollar. They don't sell New American Standards for a couple of dollars. Those things are money makers. Those things are put out by publishing companies to enrich them and to make their money. There's no profit made off of a King James Bible that's sold for a dollar.
Right.
You know why? Everyone in this world has the right and privilege of reading, copying, and distributing King James Bibles.
Right.
It's not like that with any other Bible.
Right.
It's not like that with any other Bible. Modern translations that people call them bad translations, you know, honestly, a lot of times they're accurate translations of crummy manuscripts and false and fake manuscripts. Somewhere along the line, people left overwhelming evidence in favor of the King James Bible, a majority. Why do you think it's called a majority text? I mean, the majority of everything that exists agrees with the King James. But they changed it and changed the truth of God into a lie. And since 1881, when those men came out with the Revised Version, it wasn't after 1881. In 1901, you had the American Standard Version. It wasn't much after that that you began with the other versions in this country. And that's only been over the last 150 years. And now look how many translations. We are averaging a new translation of God's Word every 2 years. Every 2 years, we are averaging a new translation. Well, what's the problem? What are the problems with new translations? What's the real difference between, you know, what they use and what we use? What's the difference in what I read and what they read? Well, if you have a Revised Standard Bible, you don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If you have a New English Translation, you have a misquote of the prophets in Isaiah. In the New American Standard, you have the last 12 verses of Mark that have been bracketed off and said should be deleted. And it's just, you know, and I have a list. We went through a study on this in our church of every single Bible. There's something in all of them. I've never seen an NIV that thick. You'll search in vain to find one unless it's crammed, filled with notes. You'll never find one that doesn't have something removed, something taken away. And you say, well, why do you rant and rave about this? Why is this such a big deal? Why is this so important? Because no Bible is any authority anymore. No Bible, no God's Word in this world is viewed anymore as being authoritative. All it is, well, you know, that's your opinion, or that's your interpretation, or that's what you believe, or that's the Bible you use. There is nothing in this world that is viewed as being rock solid anymore. It's just not. No one views God's Word as any authority. And when that happens, is there any wonder why our world can become into the shape it's in? When nothing is viewed, nothing is viewed as God's Word. Nothing is viewed like God's Word. Well, what's really the problem? What is the problem? They changed the truth of God into a lie. You say, is it really a big deal? How much longer before the King James Bible is not printed anymore? You don't think they wouldn't try that? I know they would. Because I know how men that translate other translations feel about the King James. I know about the errors they talk about in our Bible. I know about the criticism. I know about textual critics. I think that's the Greek word for moron. They don't even understand. You know, people look at God's Word in an attempt to find error, in an attempt to find fault. More times than not, especially when I was in high school and in college and went to Bible college, but you know, the first thing that they talk about when they look into God's Word is looking for a contradiction, looking for something that doesn't add up, looking for something that doesn't make sense to them. And men take liberties with God's Word that they shouldn't. Folks, why do I believe in the King James Bible? Why do I use a King James? Well, why would I call myself King James only? It's not because I'm old-fashioned and the King James is old-fashioned. I don't use a King James because that's what Brother Clark uses. I don't use a King James because that's what Mommy and Daddy used. I use the King James because it's the Word of God. Let me give you a few things about the King James Bible. The King James is the most honest of translations. I'll give you one example of that. You ever read through your Bible and found words that are written in italics? You know what that means? That means when they were translating from Hebrew or from Greek, they inserted a word to fill in for the English grammar, where a sentence would not make sense to you written in English. But you know what they did? They cared so much about the protection of God's Word that they wouldn't even complete a thought for you without letting you know, now, this was not in the original manuscript. This is something that we added for you to help complete your meaning. You know, many translations, they don't have words in italics. You know what they do? They just fill in the thought for you. That's why the King James is an honest translation. Amen. Most translations today are translated in what's called dynamic equivalence. What that means is when a translator sits down, he would read from a manuscript and tell you what that manuscript meant. Not what that manuscript said, what that manuscript meant. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I know that there's different interpretations as to what this verse means. But it says here, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Well, let's look at translation. You know, when the King James translator sat down to translate the Word of God, you know what they did? They translated word for word and form for form. Word for word and form for form. You know what that means, form for form? When the manuscript used a verb, the King James translators used a verb. When they used a noun, the translators used a noun. Bibles aren't translated that way anymore. They read the manuscript and they read what this writer has spoken and what he has said, and they say that, well, this is what he meant, and write that down. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. When I sit down and read my Bible, I want to read what Peter said. I don't want to know what someone thinks Peter meant. Amen. You know, because you might as well just take all the thus saith the Lord's and throw them out of the Bible. All the red letters that are in my Bible, you might as well throw them out if you're just telling me what he meant. And you mean we can understand everything that Christ meant? The one who said that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways higher than your ways, and you're going to sit down with a Bible and tell me everything that Jesus meant? I'd rather have thus saith the Lord. Amen. The King James is an honest translation. It's an accurate translation. Amen. It's a preserved translation. I think that we sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, we fail to see the importance of having a pure Bible. A pure Bible. Psalm 12, he said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Folks, I believe that we have a pure Word of God. And I believe that we have an inspired Word of God. Now, there are critics that disagree. There's people that say, well, how can it be inspired? It's just a translation. I mean, isn't it just a translation? How can a translation be inspired? Well, if you believe preservation, then that's how you can believe that a translation can be inspired. You know what I don't believe? I don't believe in double inspiration. I don't believe that the King James translators were inspired. I don't believe those things. You know what? I believe the Lord used them to help preserve what was already inspired. When he said that he would preserve his word, the word preserve means to keep in an original form. And the word of God was given as an inspired scripture. And if God is true and if God is faithful to his word, then what was inspired is still inspired today. Folks, we need to love our Bibles. We need to stand firm on what we believe about the King James Bible. I don't believe it just because somebody told me that. Folks, it's true. It's evident. Whether you look historically, whether you look biblically, whether you look at whatever field you want to look in, you cannot deny the fact that God has preserved His Word for us. Folks, let's cherish that. Let's cherish these words. Let's never lose the fact that God said, I'll keep my word. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And verse 5 says, every Word of God is pure. Every Word of God is pure. Why can't we leave it that way? Why can't we just leave it that way? There are so many faults in so many areas, and I haven't even gone through. I don't have to go through all the errors. I don't have to go through the NIV and show you every verse that's wrong. I don't have to go through the New King James and show you every verse that's wrong. You know what I've got? I've got a Bible that I know was accurately and correctly preserved, and this is all I need.
Amen.
I don't need anything else.
Amen.
I don't want anything else. Folks, this is my Bible, and I love it.
Amen.
I love it, and I hope you love yours too. Let's keep this Bible.
Amen.
I want to make sure that my baby has a King James.
Amen.
I want to make sure that my grandson has a King James. You know what? Maybe the Lord will call my son someday to preach if I have one. I want to know that he'll have a King James to use.
Amen.
Folks, let's keep our Bibles.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerry.
Amen.